54 in your hymn book. I have a source of strength when I am weak. It takes me through when life is pressing me. Oh, I have a source of power.
turn around and greet one another in the name of the Lord? Tonight. Amen. God bless you richly. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. We got several that are going to be traveling this weekend. Sister Micah Williams asked for safe travels, prayer requests for safe travels, so we want to remember that in prayer. And also, we'll be traveling up to Defiance, Ohio to preach for Brother Andrew Kressel on Friday. And then Lord willing, we'll be coming back on Saturday, but Brother Trevor will be staying up there to preach for him on Sunday. So we want to remember all those that will be traveling. And then also Brother Jimmy Ard asked that we remember his dad, James Ard, who's unable to walk and in a lot of pain. And also for traveling mercies for Sister Patty and him as they're going out of town this weekend as well. And then Brother Trevor asked that we remember Gloriana Eamon. She's not feeling well this evening. And also a co-worker of his whose kids have had bad strep throat. So I want to remember that situation in prayer. And then the gentleman that had paved our parking lot for us, one of the owners of the company there, his wife had called me, I believe it was a couple of days ago, and said that he had had a stroke. And they asked that we would remember him in prayer. And they know a little bit about Brother Branham and what we believe, and I thought it was nice of them to reach out for prayer. And they've seen prayers answered here at the church, so they know that God's still a healer, and they want us to remember that situation in prayer. So definitely want to lift him up in prayer before the Lord tonight. And also, Sister Leah Leek said her father-in-law's best friend had a heart attack today and is in the hospital in the middle of surgery right now, and her father-in-law had asked that we would have our church pray tonight, so we want to remember that in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord? The uplifted hand. Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Morris, good to have you with us. Would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening? I believe Brother Joshua said he wasn't feeling well this evening as well, so appreciate him coming out and putting forth an effort to play for us tonight, so I want to remember him in prayer as well.
Mary, and pray tonight. Lord Jesus, you taught us in your word to make a request known to you. You said that men ought to always pray and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting, Lord. And Lord Jesus, let a request be made known to you, Father. So, Lord, you've seen every hand that went up and every need behind it, Lord, tonight. Lord, you just went out tonight. We need a closer walk with thee, Lord, as the song says. But first of all, Lord, in our soul, our spirit, Lord. Gracious God, we know, Lord, you're the healer of the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. So, We ask that you intervene in each of these requests, Lord, tonight. That one that's traveling, Lord, this one that's sick, Lord Jesus. This one's having surgery, Lord God. Thou knowest each one. Lord, your never-failing presence is real. We just pray that your omnipotence and your omnipresence will be with those that are in need tonight. Lord, likewise, be here in our midst, Lord, and be welcome, Lord, to bless each one. That we can go out the door saying it was good to have been here, that we're going out better than we came. Bless the ministry here and every saint here, Lord, and the efforts they put forth for the kingdom of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 26 in your hymn book.
On the top of Mount Zion is a city, and the earth with glory it doth fill. Oh, I shall look on its beauty in the morning when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion, although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. And I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word said, whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion, although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Death will never bless me in that city, never leave me lying cold and chill. And I'll enter to live up there forever, that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion. And I'll through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. And so I'll stay here until my Savior calls me, trying daily to perform his will. Then he'll say unto me, well done up yonder, when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion, although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. And I'm invited to come home to that city, for the word says, whosoever will. And I'll find there a mansion for me waiting when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Oh, that city, it's on Mount Zion, although a pilgrim, yet I love thee still. Oh, I'll not leave thee through the ages when I reach that city on the hill. Well, I heard an old story how stand. Oh, victory, it's in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is new him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
This way,
victory is mine, your victory is mine, victory today is mine. My soul, Satan, can't be behind, cause victory today is mine. Oh, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt, well, I knew that the I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. I rose up singing, shouting, victory. Your victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I told Satan, get thee behind, cause victory today. Well, when you wake up in the morning, friend, you don't have to doubt, cause I know that my Lord will bring you out. Oh, you just get down on your knees, you say, Lord, if you please, and you'll raise up shouting praise and victory. Oh, yes, and victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. His victory today. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, cause victory today is mine. Oh, and peace is mine, oh, peace is mine. I know peace today is mine. Well, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, cause peace today. Oh, and happiness is mine, happiness is mine. Oh, happiness today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, cause happiness today is mine. Hallelujah, since I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, I've been shouting since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, oh, I've been shouting since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah, since I. Some of you look like you're not really convinced you've laid them down yet, but let's sing it to Him. Oh, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah. You can lay them down tonight. Since I laid these burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, oh, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. Oh, and I get feeling so much better now that I lay these burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down. Let's sing it again. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Bless you. Good to be in church again tonight. Amen. Hope you come together to worship the Lord. And turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we had been looking at a thought for several weeks on spiritual abuse, and unless the Lord leads differently, we'll go back to looking at that soon. But just felt led to go in a different direction tonight. So you just pray for me, and we'll just see what the Lord has for us. James chapter 4, and want to look at verse 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, I just ask that you would move on the scene. Lord, recognizing that there's many needs represented here tonight, and yet, Lord, also knowing that, Lord, you're the God that knows about each one. You know about each individual and their individual needs that are represented. Lord, you knew about it before we knew about it. You're already working in the background, Father, for situations that each and every one of us are facing. Lord, I just ask that you'd move on the scene tonight. Lord, may you just help me to get myself out of the way so that you could speak something of encouragement, recognizing, Lord, that each and every one of us need encouragement. We need strength for the journey. Lord, we recognize that just the words of a man won't do that, but that when we begin to look into your word, Lord, that we believe that the word is anointed. And Lord, as we look into that, we recognize that faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word. And Lord, we want to receive something from you tonight. Help us, Lord, just to yield to you whatever you'd have us do or say in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. I want to look at this thought this evening of what really matters. What really matters. And, you know, we look at different things and we go through life and we recognize, just as James said here, that life is a vapor. And, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot the last week or so, different things taking place, especially the death of my wife's cousin. He was only a year older than I am. He was 37 years old. And I just turned 36. And he had a little boy, 9 years old, and a little girl, 6 years old. And we recognize that, but by the grace of God, it could have been any one of us. And that when we look at things like that, sometimes it gets our attention a little bit to recognize and look around and see what really does matter, what really is important. And James speaking here, he said, you know, many times we go and we'll say we're going to go do this and that tomorrow. He said, what we should say is if the Lord will that we'll do this. Now, Brother Morse tells a story, and he can tell it better than I can. If I get it wrong, he can correct me and tell you the right way after service in the parking lot or something. But if I remember correctly, he said there was a man that was going to sell a cow, and he was walking down the road, and one of his neighbors said, hey there, said, what are you going to do? He said, oh, I'm going to sell this cow. And he said, don't you mean God willing? And he said, no, God don't have nothing to do with this. It's just me and the cow. We're going. I'm going to go sell the cow to a man down the road. And so he gets a little ways down the road, and some men jump him and beat him up and rob him of his money and take the cow. And he comes back with his clothes ripped half off, dragging along, limping where they beat him. And his neighbor said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going home, Lord willing. And sometimes it takes circumstances for us to recognize the hand of God in things, and that we should, whatever it is that we're going to go do, we go and do it if God is willing. We don't have a promise of the next breath. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And we can look around, and I'll look at some quotes that, you know, and this may just be a little bit different than our normal type of service. I don't know exactly what the Lord has for us tonight, but I just felt led to go down some of the path of these things that the Lord laid on my heart today. And you know, we can look into Brother Branham's life story. We'll read some different quotes and things and see how that he goes down memory lane. And each one of us can go back in our mind and look at similar things as what he's describing. I love the way that he brings out things like that in his own life, because we can relate to those, because we've had similar experiences in our life. Some of us may not have had as poor of an upbringing as he did or things like that. Some of us, I doubt any of us have experienced as great of loss as he did in his life with his family and different things. But yet all of us can relate in certain ways to things that we've gone through, troubles and trials and tribulations and the loss of family members. And as he begins to look back and reflect at different things, he said, you know, he would look at a tree that was there on the property, and he thought, you know, my, that tree, it'll be there in 400 years. You know, that tree will last forever. And he said, now it's nothing but a snag. And he would look at his dad with great big muscles and what a stocky man that he was, and strong for his size and things like that. He said, my dad will live to be 100 years old. He only lived to be 50-something. And so we look around, we recognize the brevity of life, and even in the natural sense, not even of life, but just natural physical things, we can look around and, you know, I can go back to my childhood home and it's a parking lot now. Many of you probably have similar experiences of things that you can go back, but it'll never be home anymore because home's not there, or home has changed, or somebody else lives there, or whatever it would be. And we recognize as we look at those things that life is fleeting and life is a vapor, as James just told us, that we're here one moment and then we're gone the next. And to us, you know, somebody that would live to be 80, 90, 100 years old seems like such a long time. But, you know, when you get older, you recognize some of the brothers that are much older than me, you know, I feel like it's moving so fast right now, Brother Jimmy. Life and weeks just seem like they're moving by like days. We say count the days as weeks and the weeks as months and the months as years, but it feels like that we really are, that you turn around and it's May, what is it, the 2nd or the 3rd of May already, and where has 2018 gone? And we recognize that life is fleeting and that we're here and it's just a blip on the radar. Even though, when we think of the concept of 100 years, my, what a long time that it seems in one sense of the word. But in the sense of eternity, it's just a blip on the radar. It's there and then it's gone. And even some that live to be, you know, into their older ages like that and things, they would sit and if they could and tell us that, you know, enjoy life to its fullest and do what you can for us. Others and live for the Lord and do what you can. Take care of the things that matter most. My wife's Uncle Bobby, you know, he was there and of course, mourning the death of his son, he told me, he said, hug your children. He said, life is short. Amen. I can say amen to that tonight. Life story, 1952, Brother Bram says he's talking about how that his wife, he'd got back from Jonesboro and those meetings had been so strenuous on him, and he had driven back through the country and he was tired and weary. He said he'd beat his leg against the door till he beat the side out of the door, and he was biting his fingernails and doing everything he could to try to stay awake and rubbing his eyes. And he said on his way home there, he said he came to himself and he kept going back into visions because he'd stood there for so many days and nights in vision. And he said he came to himself and he drove just when a road kind of curved and kind of what we would call a dog leg. Instead of him seeing the curve, he had just drove his vehicle right out in the middle of a cow field. And he said he was out there reaching his hand out saying, just accept it, sister, just accept it, sister. I've often wondered, you know, maybe that farmer had some sick cows or sick animals or something like that. He thought, what on earth has happened? Didn't have to pay a vet bill or nothing. And he gets home and he was so tired. He went in, you know, when you get so tired that you can't even sleep, and he was trying to rest and he couldn't rest, and somebody came in with the baby crying and said, late in the night and things, said, would Brother Branham please pray for my baby? It's dying. Sister Mita said he hasn't had hardly any rest. Just let him alone for a little while. And he said he couldn't lay in there and hearing that baby crying out there, knowing that it was suffering. And he said he came out and took the baby and prayed for it. And he said the baby was well and the family left. And said Sister Mita got him and said, Bill, said, before people start coming to the house for prayer and things, said, why don't we go for a little ride? And he said, so they went out by Green's Mill and began to drive around different places. And he said on the way back home, they stopped where he used to have school. And he went over and leans against a fence and begins to look at the old schoolhouse. And he said, we passed by this old schoolhouse where it used to stand. I stopped there. I remember the old well that I used to drink from. And the kiddies was little girl. My little Rebecca was picking some violets. She was just about a year old or something, a year and a half. And she was picking some violets out there playing. And I went and drank from this old well. I thought, as David said, if he could just drink from that well. I went and leaned my arms over against the old wooden fence. I looked across there. I looked up across the field where I used to play. And he begins to recount some of his old school memories and things. And he goes on to say, I was standing there looking at that and thinking about those things as I was leaning across the fence. And I begin to think of Brother, how I took that handful of popcorn from him when we used to put our hands on one another's shoulders, stand there, and the flag would go up, the teacher with that great big pointer point, making us get in line. We'd stand tramping like that, going to school. And he goes on a little further. He says, I begin to come down the line. I thought, yes, Ralph Fields, he's in eternity. I called three or four more of the boys. William Hensel in eternity. I thought, who stood next to him? I did. I thought, who was next to me? Edward in eternity. I look right behind me and seen Bill Ault, eternity. Behind that, Howard Higgins in eternity. He says, where's that big fine bunch of boys? Nearly every one of them is gone. I thought of Roland Holloway, a friend of mine. He used to stand there, a little red-headed fellow, enough temper to fight a buzzsaw, died in prison. He shot a man in a crap game. I looked over here to Wilmer, thought that what become of Wilmer Bates? And I thought, what happened to him? Yes, that's right. What happened to him? He got into a knife fight with the fellow, and he cut his throat with a knife. I looked back over here, and I thought of Willis Hall. What happened to you, Willis? There I seen what happened to him, how he went out in a disease that stripped his body. I looked down there and seen each one. I seen them all, and I thought, oh, God, where am I? Left alone. Who am I? Where are they at? The first thing you know, standing there, I was screaming out to the top of my voice, oh, God, let the angels of God come get this poor, tired bulk. Pack me away from here. This world is not my home any longer. I just come out of that meeting where I was mentally tore up for 8 days and nights at the platform. I was shaking and all those things running over. I thought, here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one to come. I thought, oh God. Amen. All of us can look back to different ones. Childhood friends and things are dead now or have went out in the world or different things that they're facing. As he stood there and just looking around this little group of boys that had stood up with him in class, and here he is, you know, just in his 40s, I guess, at the time, and he looks around, most of his childhood friends killed, died of diseases, passed on different ways, accidents and things, and he recognizes here we have no continuing city. If we're not careful, Satan gets us so caught up with the hustle and bustle of the world and running here and running there. Brother Branham said the men will run down the street 90 miles an hour. I said, where are they going? You know, we don't even know half the time where we just got to go do this, got to go be here, got to go do that. And if we're not careful, we fail to recognize the brevity of life, and we turn around and we think, well, what did I do with it? What did I do with life? I, you know, ran a lot of errands and did a lot of this and did a lot of that. But we want to look at the important things in life. What's really, truly important? Looking at the unseen, 1958, he says, a few days ago, I was listening to a program on the radio coming to Sunday school, and it was a round table discussion with teenagers in Louisville. What was one of the most important things was a girl to find the boy with the curly hair, the boy, the girl with the pretty blue or brown eyes. Did that make the difference? It seems like that would be a great thing to a teenager. He said, but that isn't the greatest thing. The greatest thing is find your God, your maker. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. We worry about clothes, and we worry about homes, and we worry about this, and we worry about that, and that's what God understands, that we need those things. But if we're not careful, we put the emphasis on those things many times, a better this and a better that and a bigger this and a bigger that, and we put the focus on that so much when God tells us, look, all these things will take care of themselves. God speaks, and he says, Jesus giving a parable there, he says, look at the ravens out here. God feeds them. He said, the sparrows, there's not one of them that can fall from the sky without God knowing about it. He clothes the lily of the field, the lilies of the field, and all these things. And he said, if God cares about them, how much more does he care about his children? Amen. You know, he tells the parable of the man. He said, if some man's son would come and ask of bread, he said, would his father give him a stone, his own natural father? And he said, or if he would come and ask for a fish, would he give him a serpent? He said, if God, or if an earthly father knows how to give good things to his children, how much more does God know how to give good things to his children? But if we're not careful, we begin to put the emphasis on things in the temporary instead of things in the eternal. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I remember Brother Ben telling the story, he said, about a group of chickens. And he said, this little rooster, he said he thought he knew so much about so much. And he got up and he began to give a great speech. And he said, all the hens and all the chickens looked and they said, oh my. Said, oh, what a great intellect that he has. And oh my, how good he looks and all this. And he said, then, you know, he began to speak about all these great things. And they began to turn their heads in the coop and begin to look at what a great thing he was. And all of a sudden, he said, an old rooster ran in, didn't hardly have a feather in him, and said, hey, wait a minute, guys. He said, I just got news. Chickens went up $5 a pound. He said, we're all being sold to the slaughter. What good did their knowledge do him? What good did all their little efforts and all their little things do? And I wonder sometimes, I wonder how many times we waste pulpit hours trying to deal with situations and deal with trying to correct everybody else and prove everybody else wrong and how right we are. And what good is it really doing us? Is it getting us closer to God? Amen. If we're presenting something that isn't getting us closer to God, then we're really wasting our time. Amen. Especially when it comes to the pulpit, but not only in the pulpit, when it comes to our own lives, if we're out here beating our brains out for something and we turn around, what good is it doing us? Then we're wasting our time. Time that we could be using for the Lord, time that we could be using to help somebody else. And you know, when in the great scheme of things, we should be focused on the things that really matter. The things that have value, the things that have importance. I'm not talking about just numerical values. I don't want to be known as the richest man in the graveyard. I don't want to be known as the most popular man in the graveyard. What good would that do me? That wouldn't do me any good. Oh, my, you know, Brother Nathan, he was this and he was that, but there he lays 6 feet under. What good will that do? I need something that's going to have an eternal impact. I need something. The size of my bank account won't matter very much. Now, it might help my wife and children, or it might help my grandchildren if time tarries or whatever. It might make things easier for them. I understand all that. But in the grand scheme of things, when they start throwing sod and dirt clods and things on my casket as they begin to lower me down into the ground, the size of my checking account won't matter a bit to me. But how much treasure I laid up over there will matter a great deal. Oh my. Brother Branham says in the end time, 1954, he said the soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal, because that's the thing that lasts forever. I thought it was so interesting how he phrases this. The soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal, because that's the thing that lasts forever. Talk about a paradox, that God would take something that was immortal and place it in something that was mortal. That God would take something of eternal value and place it in something that really doesn't have much value at all. You remember Brother Branham talking about the men down at the museum and a man that was 6 foot tall and 200 pounds only was worth like 86 cents at the time with inflation and things. You know, I don't know, maybe $8 or $9 or $10, $12, whatever it would be. Not very much at all, even in today's value. And he said, but yet you'll put a $500 mink coat on that or an $80 hat or something, stick your nose up in the air. If it rained, it would drown you. What are we doing? It's not that this on the outward is worth of anything, but remember we looked at it around Easter, how that it's that soul on the inside that's worth 10 million worlds. That's where the real value lays. But yet we take care of this, we polish it up, and we give it vitamins, and we try to preserve it and everything. That's all right. We should try to be healthy, and we should try to do those things. But many times we focus so much on that, on preserving the mortal, and we don't think about preserving the immortal. We focus so much on the, you know, what's going on here in the flesh, and we fail to recognize, look, this is just mortal. This is going to, if time tarries, they'll take me out here somewhere and they'll put me in the ground, or they'll put me in a incinerator or whatever they do. But whether it's short term or long term, this is going back to ashes. If time tarries long enough, you would have to get a spoon and a magnifying glass to find anything of this. And yet we try so hard to take care of it, make sure that it's okay. But what about that of eternal value down on the inside? The soul is the most important thing. And that God, in his great thinking and in his providence and his planning, he would take something, and in the predestinated and the elected, he would take and he would place a soul down on the inside of this body that's going to decay, that's just of corruption. And he would take this eternal soul that was worth just an unimaginable value to us, really, to think of 10 million worlds, what that would be worth. And he places that soul down on the inside of this body. You know, if we had something that was worth 10 million worlds, we would buy the, you know, I can't even imagine what we would do. We would go out and rent Fort Knox and try to put it in there to try to guard it and protect it and value it. And God takes this eternal value and sticks it in something that's decayed and rotten, and it's just going to bring corruption. But yet from from that corruption, the real true believer puts on incorruption. The soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal, he says, because that's the thing that lasts forever. He talks about when his mother got sick and right before she passed away, he tells her, and it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, 1961. He's talking about when they came to get her. I said to her when we was putting her in the ambulance, now, I said, now, Mama, everything is all right. She said, I'm longing to go. I said, Mama, if you were leaving me a treasure upon the earth of $100 million for we children, or you were leaving us a home that would reach from city to city, it would nothing like compare with this testimony that you're leaving us. I'm ready to go. Amen. He said it's a treasure that money cannot buy to know that. Amen. Oh, he talks about the different ones, how they passed into eternity. And he talks about great men of great caliber like Brother Bosworth that he said, you know, he said, Brother Bosworth, when was your finest hour? When was your greatest moment? Was it when you were back when you're 20s or your 30s or your 50s or when? He said, this is my greatest hour right now. Going down to his deathbed, an old man, he said, this is my greatest moment. This is my greatest hour. He said, Brother Billy, he said, I've preached about him. I've talked about him. He said, but I'm getting ready to meet the one that I've talked about for all those years. He said, Paul Rader, the one that wrote Only Believe, he said, when he was dying and they gathered around him, and he said, those children came in to sing some mournful song. He said, who's dying here, you or me? He said, play me some peppy gospel song. Oh, my, what is it? There was such a difference in somebody that was ready to go and somebody that wasn't ready to go. Somebody that had placed value on the important things and somebody that was laying there with regrets. I heard Brother Branham talk about a man that was a famous atheist. And he was a friend of Brother Branham's dad. And I just heard him on tape the other day talking about it. He said, this man, he was such a pronounced atheist. He said, if I'm wrong, he said, let lightning strike me in the next 3 minutes. And he watched his watch. And when the 3 minutes counted down, he said, ha, see, there is no God, and walked on. Oh, if there's a God, you know, strike me dead. Strike me with lightning or things like that. And he said, but as time went on, he said he was standing out in his fields and there was a great storm came up and he was a wealthy man, owned a lot of racehorses and things and had barns with racehorses and fields of wheat and different things. And he said all of a sudden the storm began to strike and the lightning and it burned up his fields. And he said he shook his fist at the heavens and cursed the very thought of God. And when he did, lightning struck and burned up his racehorses and the barns that he had. And he said his dad went to see him as he was dying. And he said he was screaming and men trying to hold him down, things fighting back and forth, screaming, talking about demons with chains trying to take him. What a difference in the way that these men went. It was because one was ready to go and one wasn't ready to go. What a difference in the way that Sister Branham, Brother Branham's mother went and the way that many of these others went. What was it? There was a peace. There was something about it. You know, and we many times if we're not careful, we put off for tomorrow things that we may not have a tomorrow to do. We put off to tomorrow things that you know, even if we get to tomorrow, we may never have the opportunity to do that. I heard that Brother Lauren had passed, you know, there was many times that we had went and visited him, and I would always think, you know, I should go and do this because if something would happen and I hadn't gone, I would always regret not going. And I'm so glad that I did, that I didn't have to be, you know, have regrets and things that, oh, I wish I would have gone more. I wish I would have did that. I feel like we did, me and some of the brothers did the best of our ability to go and visit him faithfully. And I'm glad that we did that. But, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, the busyness of life and things, if we're not careful, we'll live with these regrets because, well, you know, mom's gone now or dad's gone now or uncle so-and-so or this one or that one. And I didn't go as much as I should have. I didn't do as much as I should have. I didn't express my love as much as I should have while they were there. And I waited for tomorrow thinking, well, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I'll do it on vacation in July. I'll do it this time or that time or the other. And then if we're not careful, that tomorrow that we're waiting for never comes because we were so busy with the unimportant that we left off the important things. Tell your children that you love them. Amen. Hug them up to you while they'll still let you. Amen. You say, I'm just not a very, I'm not very touchy-feely or things like that. Well, when you're in a nursing home and nobody comes and visits you because you didn't ever show them any love, you'll be wishing that you'd put your arm around them and told them that you loved them. Recognize the important things. The working of the Holy Spirit, 1956. He said, I asked my wife here some weeks ago, I said, sweetheart, what is value? Where could you place value? Well, she said, what do you mean, Billy? And I said, well, value. I said, I remember years ago when I got my first little T Model Ford, I was a sinner about 1926. And I would just shine that little thing all day, Sunday, to make it shine. Stay home, didn't go to church, and it shined. Now, what if today I tried to find one piece of that car? It's gone. You couldn't do it. It's finished. Oh, my, now he's getting down there on our brother's toes, us brothers a little bit, isn't he? Many times we focus on things. He's not saying go out here and burn your cars tonight, but he is saying eventually that's going to burn. Eventually, that's going to be a pile of rust. Eventually, you're not going to be able to find nothing except maybe an old license plate or something of it. What good is it going to do you if time goes on 40, 50, 60 years and your memory is like his when he was back a young man? Well, I stayed home from church and sure shined that thing, but what did he miss out while he was doing that? Now, I believe personally, and you can like it or not like it, but this is just my personal opinion, I think he made up for it plenty in his years afterwards of going for the Lord. I believe he made up for that lost time, and I hope that we can make up for some time that we lost as well. But he's looking at it as, what more could have been accomplished if instead of wasting that time, I would have done something for the Lord or for somebody or something of eternal value. My wife reminds me every once in a while, I like things a certain way, and I, I'm just kind of particular about things, and she'll remind me every once in a while, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Don't waste too much time being too particular. It's all going to burn. He said, what if someone would come in tonight and say, Mr. Branham, I appreciate you. I'm going to give you $1 million. I'd say, thank you, sir. I'm going to take that. I'm going out and going to feed all the poor people. That would be very fine. Just go around from house to house and send in groceries and feed the and bring the widows coal and wood and clothe the little children. Go to the hospitals and take care of their bills that can't be paid and so forth and do good things. But when I got to heaven, it'd all be gone. But what if I get one soul saved? He said, what if I had laying here tonight $100 billion laying here? And what could I do with $100 billion? The missionaries I could send to the world and with myself and probably win millions of souls? I don't know. But if I had $100 billion laying on this side and a little button on this side and I could press that little button and I'd lose $100 million, or don't press the button, I could keep it. But if I press the button, my dear old dad that's passed on beyond the veil would walk down this aisle and I could sit there and talk to him 10 minutes. I would give $100 billion freely without a question to talk to my daddy one more time. Where's value at then? What is it? I think if I can get one soul saved, one little black boy or whatever it is, it might be, as long as there is an eternity and that light and that star of God is shining in glory, my name will be associated with getting that soul saved. As long as there's an eternity, so if I can just get one soul saved, my name will be associated with that. I don't believe that was just for the prophet, but I believe that's for each and every one of us too, that there's something about it. Brother Branham called us stars in his crown. I want to get there and have some stars in my crown too. Amen. My stars may not amount to anything compared to his. My stars may not amount to anything compared to some other brothers, but I don't want to get there and them say, sorry, here's your crown, but no stars. You were too busy with other things. Too busy to help somebody else. Oh my, I said all this, all the money and all the things that could be given to him to hand it, make it an easy street for him. And he said, if I could press a button and choose, He said, just 10 more minutes with my daddy is what I would want. Oh, my, I know there's some of us sitting here, you know, in similar situations that, oh, if we could just have a little bit more time. The Queen of England, when she was dying, I was looking at a thought. I've been looking back and forth at it for about a year and never have preached it, but on Famous Last Words, and Brother Branham talks about it several times too, and he said the Queen of England, when she was dying, and you can go back in history and look at it too, one of the Queens of England, as she was dying, she said she'd give her entire kingdom for just 5 more minutes of life. What good would it do her? All of her kingdom, all of her riches, everything that she had struggled for and fought for and tried to do, what good would it do her once she was in a coffin? She said, I'll trade the whole thing for just 5 more minutes of life. What are the important things? What are the important things in life? I promise you, when you're laying on your deathbed and the doctor comes in and says, Mr. So-and-so, John Doe, whoever you are, I hate to be the one to inform you this, but I've looked at everything and your medical history. I've looked at the charts. I've looked at the symptoms. I've looked at your oxygen levels. We've taken all of your vitals and we've looked at your lungs. We've taken x-rays and different things. And aside from just a complete miracle from God, you only have a few more hours to live. I promise you when you're laying there, you won't think, if I had only worked a few more hours of overtime. If I had only added 3 more rooms to my house. If I had only had 3 more sports cars in my garage. If I had only, just saved a little bit more money in my bank account so that when I go out of here and they read my obituary, that money market could have been such a higher value. I promise you that won't be what's going through your mind. What's going through your mind is, oh, if I could just go back and spend some more time with the children, if I could just go back and spend some more time with my wife or my parents or this one or that one, if I could just do something for the Lord, if I could have been in church more and out gallivanting around the country less, if I could have just did more for the kingdom of God to try to witness and help souls, those are the type of things that'll go through your mind in those last few hours of life. Thinking how we spend our life. Did we focus on the things that were really important, or did we focus on the things that were important to us in that moment? Many times we get so caught up in the moment, and we focus so much on the moment, and the moment is fleeting, and the moment is gone, the moment is a memory, and if we're not careful, we wasted precious moments that we could have been doing something that had an impact on our family, that had an impact on the church, that had an impact on eternity. And if we're not careful, we just sit by and just let it week after week, month after month, year after year, pile up and pile up and pile up. And then when the doctor says you only have 6 months to live, then we want to go and make everything right with everybody and go on the vacation that we always wanted to go on and do all those things and put everything on credit because we're not going to be here to pay it off anyhow. But what about now? What about right now while we have the opportunity? Why wait until then and then panic? Focus on the important things. Amen. Focus on the important things. Amen. God bless you. I could ramble on and on and on about the same thing, but Brother Morse told me when I was, my very first sermon I ever preached, he had asked me, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you ever want me to preach, you'll just have Brother Morse ask me out of the blue. And I'd never told anybody that, but I told the Lord that when I was about 13 years old. When I was about 16, I wrote that little story that I preached a sermon on here a few years ago on the predestinated snails. And he read that, and I guess he saw the inspiration in that and felt like the Lord was dealing with me to preach. So when I was about 17 years old, we went there to his hometown in Liberty and my dad's hometown for one of my dad's aunt's funerals, if I remember correctly, or one of his cousins. I can't remember exactly, but we was there, and he said, why don't you preach for me Wednesday night while you're up here? And I thought, well, Lord, I didn't really expect it to happen. That's what I had said, but I really didn't expect it to happen. And so he asked me, and I said, all right. So I had my Bible and a couple of message books with me, and I went up into Grandma's attic, and I began to study, and I preached a little sermon on lights in Laodicea. And I read all the quotes and scriptures and the few comments that I'd come up with about as hard as I could for 25 minutes, and I didn't have anything else to say. And so I turned around and gave the service back to him, and he said, well, one thing that he has going for him is he knows to stop when he doesn't have anything else to say. And I've tried to remember that over the years. And I've also realized that there's some preachers that even though they've been doing it many more years than me, they don't know that little fact that when you don't have anything else to say, just stop. I sat in a service one time, a man preached a service 2.5 hours, and after the first 30 minutes, he just repeated the first 30 minutes basically over and over and over again for the next 2 hours. And we would have all enjoyed it and got a lot more out of it if he would have just stopped when he didn't have anything else to say. But I'm going to stop tonight, and if the musicians will come. I just felt impressed with this on my heart tonight to share with you, to focus on the things that are important. Amen. Spend time with your family. Spend time with the Lord. You won't regret that. There's a lot of things we can do with our time that we'll regret, but I don't think we'll look back and say, oh my, I wish I had spent less time with Grandma. I wish I had spent less time fishing with my kids. I don't think we'll ever regret that. I wish I had spent less time in church. I wish I had spent less time in prayer. You never hear people say those things, not anybody in their right mind at least. Amen. Amen. Let's live life. What does the psalmist say? Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not the goal. From dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And in partings, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. I want to leave footprints that'll have an impact on somebody else. An impact in a positive way. Amen. Not an impact that's going to drag somebody else down, but I want to leave footprints that somebody else will say, there was somebody that loved the Lord. There was somebody that tried to do something for somebody else. Amen. There was somebody who spent time with the important things. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I recognize all of us from time to time we need a little wake-up call in our lives that if we're not careful, we get so distracted with the things of life and things that are just temporal. But Lord, I don't want to get just caught up in the day-to-day, but I want to have, Lord, a burden on my heart for others. Lord, I want to make sure that my priorities are straight. Lord, I want to spend time with you and spend time in your word. Spend time, Lord, in services where your Holy Spirit is moving amongst the people. I want to spend time with my wife and children and my family, Lord. Lord, I don't want to look back around and say, oh, I wish I had, Lord. But while I can, Lord, help me to do those things that are of importance. Those things that are of eternal value. Those things that will have an impact on somebody else's life. Lord, many times we sacrifice our times for others and we don't really realize the impact of it. And Lord, maybe that person needed that so much right then, that extra time, those extra 5 minutes of just sincere, undistracted time that we could listen to them and pray with them and try to encourage them. Lord, until we've gone through something and somebody's done that to us, we don't really recognize how important that is. But Lord, we recognize that all of our money, all of our riches, our houses, our vehicles, all that will eventually rust and fade and decay, even our own physical bodies. So we recognize that time is one of the most valuable things when we think of value, that our time here on earth is so valuable. Lord, help us to spend it in the right way. Help us to spend it on things that would be pleasing to you. Help us to spend it, Lord, with others in mind, not just ourselves, but Lord, help us to spend it trying to encourage our children, encourage our friends, encourage those we come in contact with at the church or at the supermarket or down at our job, whatever it would be, at our schools. Lord, when we see that one that's getting picked on or made fun of or bullied around, Lord, help us to take that 5 minutes that maybe they need to know that somebody cares about them and somebody's praying for them. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to take the time to do your will. Help us to take the time to listen to that still small voice to lead us and guide us in our life. As I've heard Brother Branham say so many times, and I go back every few months and try to read it as a reminder. He said, Pastor, don't you ever get too busy that you can't hear that still small voice, that you can't stop and listen for that. Help us, Lord. Help us to take time out for you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for impressing this on our heart, Lord, tonight. Lord, to have me remind us, not only the congregation, but to remind me as well, Lord, to take time out for the important things. We love you, Lord. You're so mindful of us. Lord, when we need these reminders, Lord, you have your way of doing it. Lord, whether it's driving in our car and something speaks to us from a tape, or we're reading our Bible in the mornings, a scripture stands out to us, or sitting in a service, Lord, whatever it would be, we thank you for your gentle reminders to us. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. Oh, help us, Father. Lord, we're mortals, and we get so distracted sometimes, and our human mentality gets so jumbled up with the pace of life. But Father, just continue to remind us, I pray, to focus on these eternal things, the lasting things, the important things, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why don't we sing that together? Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be, cause I know that you know what's best. Let's try this tonight. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn. About I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the same one who feeds the sparrow, he's the same stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm my treasures in that home above. I'm trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love. I'm doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, to prepare a mansion, Jesus said I go. Oh, if it were not true, I would have told you so. Oh, just a little while to linger here below. Oh, the bride's getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting
simple, but just just felt impressed to sing it when I saw it here in the songbook, so you help me out. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. Oh, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like a fountain.
Oh,
wait, would you come and dismiss us in prayer? Didn't have time to write this out, but during church, a coworker had reached out to me. And I knew some of this was going on, but I didn't know all the details. But apparently her daughter's getting married to her girlfriend tomorrow. And her husband have prayerfully decided to not attend. And she just asked that we pray that God would help in that situation. So I believe that God will honor them for standing for his word. But just know that the prayers of the saints would mean something to her. So if you can remember her in prayer, God bless you.
Loving Father, you look down upon us, Lord, and saw fit to remind us tonight, Lord, that the little things matter. Life is can just gain its own motion and inertia, Lord, and take us away, and that's not the way we're to be. You admonish us to look on the needs of others. You admonish us to have the mind of Christ. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that the words that were spoken tonight, Lord, would find lodgment in our hearts, Lord, that would direct us to be that way, Lord. It's just to help our eyes to be open, to carry a burden one for another, Lord. And Lord, we've gotten the prayer requests that were brought before us earlier, Lord, and we just lift them up before you. And this one that came in a little later, Lord. Lord, we seek your face and your wisdom, Lord. And Lord, we don't know what to do in these types of situations except to give it to you, Lord. And then to stand back and see your hand move, Lord, and to make things right. Father, we just ask on behalf of these people, Lord, that are faced with this extraordinary situation, Lord, that you would be their portion, that you would watch over them and keep them, Lord. And Lord, just minister to the child, Lord, and show them the error of their ways. Father, we pray that in all things, Lord, that we would just have our ears open to your still small voice, Lord. And help us that as we go along the way, Lord, just to be led of you and led of your Spirit. As we depart from here tonight, Father, be with each and every one. Keep them safe, Lord. Watch over them as we would go on from here, Lord, for whatever time that you would give us, Lord. But each step of that way, whether it's for a day, a week, months, or years, Lord, that we remain in the center of your will. Just bless each and every one. May your love, which you so bountifully give to us, help us to share it one with another, and not only one with another, Lord, but to a dying generation. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing a little chorus as we go. Hosanna. Amen.
Hosanna.